Thanks for joining us. We love getting to share the message of God's grace with the entire world. If His message has impacted your life, would you share your testimony with us by emailing it to stories@graceorlando.com. We love to hear what God is up to. You can also give in support of this ministry by going to our website and clicking on the Give button at graceorlando.com. Thanks again. But last week, we talked about how the Word of God is the righteousness of God, and we are in Him, right? I love this. God, you and me, okay, are as good as God's Word. How good is that? Is God going to ever break His Word? No. So we stand on some really, really good ground. All right. The year was 1999. I was 20 years old, okay? Why was that funny? You were 20. You look how old you are now. Anyway, I was 1999, and I was a worship leading maniac, okay? I love to lead worship. I love to sing songs. I was something that you would have called on fire. Now, for you guys in the front row, we weren't really on fire, okay? Like, that would have been awesome, but we were just super radical. We were crazy, man. We loved God. We were passionate about Him, and we wanted more, you know? And how many of us, those kinds of ideas resonate in all of our hearts? We just, God, we want more, we want more, we want more, and that was kind of the idea, was more. And more and more, and I got to borrow a guitar. We sung this song. Now I want to set this up and hopefully not destroy Seth's guitar. I am not making fun of the person who wrote this song. I am not being critical of him at all, because as you will hear later, I have a song that's much worse that I wrote. I feel like Garth Brooks up here. I always never wanted to have this happen. I'm not a country guy. Okay, so. The song went like this, okay? And again, do not sing along. This is not a song I ever want to hear you sing. That sounded wrong, but you get me. So, and it's coming from the heart. And it went like this. Holiness, holiness, it's what you long for. Something like that. Holiness, it's what I need. It sounds so good, you know? I'm asking God for it. And holiness, holiness, it's what you want for me, or from me. I always confuse those lyrics, I don't know. And then we get down to the chorus, and see, the rest of the verses would say things like righteousness, right? I want to be righteous, I want to be holy. You know, it'd be faithfulness. That was always my favorite one, because I would tell God how faithful I was going to be until 5 minutes after church. You know, I was like, God, I am with you, man. You know, like, oh, I had all the right heart for all the right motivations. And then we get to the chorus, and oh, this chorus. Here we go. It'd go like this. So take my heart and form it. Sounds so good. Take my mind. I forget the words. Transform it. You remember this. And take that dirty old will of mine. That's not how it went. Conform it to yours. We'd sing that over and over again, and we'd say, God, not me, right? That's the idea. And now again, I'm not making fun of this song, and many of us in this room probably sung this song much to the heart cry of something good, right? We really wanted God. We wanted more. We wanted to give Him our life. The song was called Take My Life, which sounds interesting. And you're saying, I want you to take my life. Can I give you some bad news? The bad news for that song was that sin took your life. You didn't have a life to give God. You had no life. That was the point. He came and gave you life. So saying, take my life is silly. He gave you the very life. You're telling Him you can take it back, you know? Doesn't make any sense. No, we were slaves to sin, the Bible says. We had no life to give God. It sounds so good to say that I found Jesus. No, you never found Jesus. You were as lost as possible. He found you. That's the awesome miracle of the gospel. Your life is not your own, the Bible says. Peter, we talked about Peter last week. You remember Peter. I love Peter. I find myself in Peter often. You probably do as well. God gives him this vision, and in this vision, God puts on this blanket bacon, okay? There's more to this story. But anyway, there's bacon on this thing, okay? And all I'm saying is he smells the aroma, and God's like, hey, man, go get some bacon. Okay, he's Jewish, okay? And he's like, God, nice try. I'm not falling for that one. I have never touched anything unclean, right? And God tells Peter something. Peter, he usually tries so hard, and he's usually the exact opposite side of where God is. And in this moment, God's explaining to him something. He says, Peter, listen, if I have made something clean, if I have cleansed something, don't call it unholy or unclean. Don't do that. That doesn't make any sense, Peter. And we're going to dive into this morning and take a look. How does this statement sit with you? It was said somewhat like the way Pastor Clark would have said it. He said this. He said, you are as holy now as you will be in heaven. How does that sit with you? I remember the first time I heard that phrase, I'm as holy now as I will be in heaven. And instantly your flesh is saying, no way, man. There's no way. Have you looked at yourself lately? I saw what you did yesterday. How can I be as holy now as I will be in heaven? And yet that is the truth. And let's look at it this morning. So this word holy, as we looked at last week, comes from the word hagios, and it means sacred or set apart for God's purpose. Remember, Paul called us this, holy ones, saints, right? We're not asking God to make us holy. He's made us holy. Look, God knew exactly what we would want. Here's young Javen at 20, right? I'm singing this song, and my heart's in the right place, and I just really, really wanted to be like God. That's what I wanted. I wanted to resemble him in every way, and that's what I'm singing and all this kind of stuff. Look, God knew that about you already. God knew exactly what he was doing. When I was a kid, I really, really loved Michael Jordan. Who didn't, right? You guys still know he's the best basketball player of all time. Don't give me that LeBron James talk. Michael Jordan would dunk over him any day. Anyway, Michael Jordan had this commercial. It was a commercial that came on all the time, and it had a little jingle to it. Do you remember the jingle? It was real 90s and 80s kind of mix, and at the end it would go, I want to be around Mike, around Michael Jordan, right? No, for those of y'all that remember the commercial, it wasn't I want to be around Mike, I want to be like Mike. Right? I don't want to just hang out with him, although that would be a great day, He'd dunk over me and make me feel small, and it'd be awesome. I'd be like, you're so great, But that's not what I want. I want to be like him. I want to dunk over everybody and be awesome. That's what I want. And God knew that about you. In fact, it's the same thing with fathers and sons, right? If you've got a healthy relationship, your son is going to want to be you, not just be around you, but he wants to imitate you. That's the idea that God built into who we are as people. So to be around him would have been cool, but God had a better plan than just have you around him, okay? Gabby made a Lion King reference last week, so I'm going to lose the Little Mermaid this week, okay? Not to be one-upped. So here's the thing. You remember the story of the Little Mermaid, She's underwater. She's sick of swimming. Do you remember that? She sung a whole song about it. And then she gets there and she says, I want to get up there where the people are walking, Now, that would have been pretty cool, right? To be up there, but the problem was she had a limitation. She could not be with Prince Eric, who was obviously the love of her life. So let's pause that thought for just a moment and go back to Ephesians 1:3, which says this, Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He blessed you with everything. You're not waiting on something, like waiting on God to regenerate some more areas of your life, and then you're going to be more holy or something. No, listen, this would be the same thing as if the Little Mermaid went to the devil, I guess, of the movie, and made this deal, right? And she only got one leg, She had like one leg and one fin. And she's like, good luck, go win the guy's heart, You look kind of strange. No, God didn't do that. He didn't half do the job. No, he knew you wanted to be with him, and to be with him, you had to be like him, and so he made us like him. Take my heart and form it, he did. He gave you a brand new one. Take my mind and transform it, he did. He gave you his mind. Take my will and conform it, he did. He gave you his life. He gave you all of this. Now listen, this is a much different experience than that of Moses, and yet we read through Moses to see God so often. You realize Moses had a very different experience. He's walking around in the wilderness, and he comes upon a burning bush, okay? And this bush is on fire, but it's not burning. I don't know what I would have done in this situation, but I definitely would have gotten closer to it and seen what's going on. And he does too. He walks closer, and all of a sudden it speaks to him and tells him, kick off your shoes,
Again, put yourself in this moment, okay?
The bush begins to speak to him, and he recognizes, wait a minute, this is God speaking to me. And what does he say to him? He says this, take off the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. This ground, Moses, where I am, is set apart from every other piece of earth there is. Like, imagine how special this place was for a moment, okay? God made a spot that was set apart different from the whole rest of the planet right here because why? I'm here. God's here. Therefore, it's holy ground. Moses, you better kick off your shoes. This is holy ground. And see, what we do is we read something like that, right? And then we get into an awesome worship service and we're like, I got to take off my shoes. I'm on holy ground. This church, they don't know it. This carpet's holy. And we begin to think like the idea is to create a space for God or something. No, listen, this is much greater than this. God dwelled with man. And the Bible says that when God dwells with man, what we're seeing here is he has to make the space holy. It becomes holy because he's present. Do you see it? Becomes holy because he's there. Leviticus 11:45 says that if you're going to be with me, with God, you have to be holy as I am holy. He says, I'm the God that brought you out of Egypt. I am him. I am the God. And if you're going to be with me, you've got to be like me. So how do you become holy? How do we become like him? Listen, there's only one way to become holy, and there is only one way to stay holy, and that is Jesus. That is through his perfect everything that he did for you and me. Look, Peter wanted to follow Jesus anywhere. Peter was, he was fanatical. He was excited, okay? And he went to Jesus and he says something similar to what many of us might have said at some part of our life where you say, God, I'll follow you anywhere. We sing songs like that. God, I want to grow closer to you, right, in some ways is what he's saying. I want to, Jesus, wherever you are is where I want to be. Like, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'll fight anybody. I'll share the gospel with anyone. I'll give any amount of money that you have. This is his mindset. And look at what Jesus says. Jesus looks at him. He turns around and he looks at Peter and he goes, You can't, Peter. You can't. Wow. How deflating, you know? God, I want to follow you. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. You can't. You can't go where I'm going, Peter. What a horrible, depressing moment that must have been for Peter. And he's got so many questions. And Jesus just says simply this. He goes, you can't go where I am going. I love your heart, Peter. This is great, but you're not ready yet. You can't go where I'm going because I'm going to the Father, and he is holy, and to be with him, you have to be holy. Peter, you have no shot at that. Sorry, you can't come where I'm going. Now look at what Peter says. Peter says, Lord, why can't I just follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Wow. And Jesus answered, oh, yeah. Will you lay down your life for me? Well, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. Oh, Peter, what a great gesture. I'll follow you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you. And Jesus says, you don't even mean the very words you're saying right now because I know your heart. See, the problem was a nature that was within us. It didn't matter how many promises we made God. It didn't matter how many things we said we were absolutely going to do, and it still doesn't. What matters is what's inside of you. That's what matters. It changes you. It changes your heart. How many times do we do this very, very thing? We come down to the altar. We come into some prayer moment, and what we're asking God for is more of him when he's given us all of him. Right? We're saying, God, I want to grow closer to you. And he's like, well, I'm inside of you, so I don't know how much closer we can get, you know? Like, this is what we say because we don't see. We don't see clearly, and so we say things that are just flat out silly if we were being honest. Jesus showed Peter his heart. And see, we have something that Peter didn't at this time. And Jesus promises that he's coming. He goes, listen, Peter, you can't follow me because something better is going to happen. I'm going to come back. A person of God is coming called the Holy Spirit. And even though you won't see me, he will live within you and he will never depart from you, Peter. He says he's a Holy Spirit. He is the total opposite and different spirit than the rest of the world. Than everything else you've ever seen, because he's set apart. He is holy, Peter. He's holy. And get this, he's going to be your helper. He is going to help you. You ever just realize that we needed help? Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. He goes, listen, God, I want to be where they are all of the time, but leave them here. It's a weird moment if you don't understand what he's saying. He knew the Spirit would be here with us. He'd walk with us. He'd be our helper. He's going to remind us of everything. Peter, it's better if you don't follow me because I got a plan for your life.
God has a plan for every single one of our lives in this room. There's love to be shared from every single one of us in this room with the whole world. God knew that. He knew you'd enjoy that. And so he left you here for it. John 16 says this, and he, Peter, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Man, you guys are going to get this later, he's thinking. A righteousness apart from the law is here, but the Spirit of God is coming to teach you things. Now look, most people that I meet believe that the Holy Spirit convicts you, or convinces, what that word means, convinces you of sin. That that's his job. You know, as a Christian, you do something wrong, he's a nun with a ruler standing right behind you. You know, he's just ready to let you know, and he's going to convince you until you believe him, you know, that's the idea. Can I tell you something? That wouldn't really be a big helper in your life, okay? That wouldn't help you at all, because really what he's doing is pointing to something that's dead and not a part of you anymore. That wouldn't make any sense, right? So let's take a look at this. He says the Spirit of God is going to come and he's going to help you with something. What's he going to help the world with? He's going to tell them about sin. No, not about lust and pornography and all that stuff. No, about the bigger issues. The bigger issues called unbelief that drives all of those things. He's going to convince the world that this life that you think is real isn't. That the only life that's ever been is in Christ. That that's the only place it exists. Sin. He's going to convince the world of sin. Peter, do you need convincing of that? No. It's why he doesn't reference Peter in that first part, but in the second part. He references Peter when he talks about righteousness. He goes, Peter, I'm going to have the Spirit of God convince you of righteousness because I'm not going to be here anymore. He says, I go to the Father. So any day, and get this, we're going to look at this closer, but any day where you look at yourself and you think, man, I blew it. My heart is absolutely just broken. I am just the worst. He's there to say, hang on, let me help you. That's not at all who you are. You're righteous. Oh, in judgment, that last part, some believers want to preach right out of that one that that's just he's coming to judge you. No, he came to tell the world that the enemy's been judged. He stands condemned. Feel free to remind the enemy anytime you want. So notice, no part of the Spirit's job is to convict or convince a believer of sin. Why? Say it with me. Saints ain't sinners. That's why. It's very simple. So here's your oil and water moment, all right? Here's this idea this moment, okay? This morning, the Holy Spirit calls you holy. All right, so our oil, if you will, the idea that's out there that we hear is that the Holy Spirit comes and convinces believers of sin. That's the point of the Spirit, is he's here to help you stay on the right track. He's going to convince you of sin. The water represents that the Holy Spirit convinces believers of their righteousness. Now look, just like oil and water, believers do this all the time. They mix these two ideas together, that God is not only just here to convince me of sin, but he's here to convince me of righteousness. Do you realize those are two very, very different places? They're two very, very different ideas. To say that you're a sinner devoted by nature to sin and complete wickedness is not the same thing as being called righteous. So it's a very weird bipolar place that the Spirit is living in, apparently. You know, it's not true. And you'll notice the oil and water will always go back. It'll always separate. These two ideas will never mix. Look at what John says. And boy, this is a verse you might want to put up right on your mirror or wherever you put scriptures, if we still do that. 1 John 3:20. Whenever our hearts make us feel guilty and remind us of our failures, we know that God is much greater and more merciful than our conscience. And he knows everything there is to know about us. Wherever our hearts, that word hearts means our thoughts and our feelings. Whenever your thoughts and your feelings make you feel guilty and remind you of your failures, the Spirit's there to remind you of something. You may be super disappointed in your sin. You may be utterly shocked. By the way, to be disappointed, it has to be information you didn't have, okay? So in the revelation of your sin, you may go, wow, I didn't realize I could stoop to that low. And the Spirit of God comes over and goes, God did. He's never disappointed because he saw everything before you were even a thing. He saw it all. He's God. He can't be disappointed in you. He can't be because he knows everything. So instead, he reveals that he's more merciful than your conscience. Your conscience condemns you. He says, no, I don't condemn you. I'm merciful. Get up. Not feeling condemned gives you confidence. You know what condemnation is? It's the mixture of shame and guilt. It's these two things that kind of come together. Maybe you sinned and did something just massive, like really, really blew it. And that sin brought to you guilt. And because of that guilt, you began living behind something else, a different image of yourself for a period of time, because you just couldn't confess to anybody what you did. And so you kept this kind of picture out here, and that's what living under condemnation looks like. Oh, it can look good. It can look like somebody's smiling and things are fine. And meanwhile, the person can feel condemned. And so that's why the Spirit of God comes to us and says, no, there is no condemnation for you. Instead, there's love. And John says that we love because he first loved us. Now, I told you I wrote a song, and I wrote this song based on Psalm 51, which is David lamenting over his sin, okay? And I wrote this awesome song, played it in front of thousands of people, and I hate it. I absolutely hate all of that. And the reason is because I sung a song that doesn't reflect at all who we are in Christ, but what David was going through. And David said this line. He goes, look, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Oh my goodness, isn't that exactly what God did for you and for me? David, God answered your prayer. He answered your song. Ezekiel 36 would say, hey, I'll put a new heart and a new spirit within them. You'll have a brand new nature. You are holy by nature. You can't help it. It's who you are. Listen to what Isaiah said. He was talking about Zion. That's where you and I live in Christ. A highway will be there, he says. A roadway. It'll be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. Well, we know Jesus is the what? The way. And if you walk on him, according to Isaiah, you cannot be unclean. That's not a threat. That's a fact. So if you're in Christ, you can't be called unclean. And just like Peter was told, stop calling yourself a sinner. Stop calling yourself unclean. God has cleansed you. So here's your last point, oil and water number two. Holiness means you lack nothing. You lack nothing. There's nothing that God left off. There's not some thing that you need to go fulfill on your own or figure out on your own because you don't have it. No, God gave it to you. Here's the oil idea, or the idea behind this one, is that God is making you holy through Christ-like actions. Let's just pause there for just a moment, because many of us fall into the trap of believing that the idea, the point of being a Christian, or to grow holier, that by the end of your life, you're just this saint of, you know, whatever, glowing holiness. The idea is that you spent a life doing Christ-like actions, right? You did the things that Jesus did. You purposefully lived out that life as in the hope of becoming more holy, okay? All right, well, if you're going to do that, there are two things you're going to need, and here they are. You're going to need the Old Covenant and the Mosaic Law to do what Jesus did. You're going to have to use the tools that Jesus had. So you're going to have to live out a life of holiness based upon your ability to keep perfectly the Old Covenant and the Mosaic Law, and you failed before you had even started. So here's the water. Here's the other idea. God has made you as holy as he is. Do you want to know what the requirement for this one is? Jesus. He's the requirement. Throw yourself on him and you have it. Throw yourself on him. That doesn't even make any sense. He takes you, right? He comes to you. But you get the idea. The idea is the requirement under him is Jesus. So when I utterly fail, what's my answer? Jesus. When I utterly do something great and fantastic, what's my answer? Jesus. It's always Jesus. He made me holy so that Paul and I could say something like this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no shame to hide behind. There's no sin. There's no guilt in all these things. Instead, we have no condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law, capital L, could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in you and me who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Won't you believe it? I was in Tampa, and I was witnessing in where all the witches hang out. You know, they actually have a hangout, you know? And so I walked in there, and you feel cold. I mean, it's a spiritually dark place. And I was there with a bunch of, 20-year-olds leading people to Jesus, going with God, and no idea what we're doing, Where was my mom? I have no idea. Anyway, we walk into Tampa, and we go into this Ybor City, this is spot, and there's just all these witches and all these people that are wearing all the clothing and all the stuff. And I'm sitting in front of this guy, and he's doing this, I'm trying to talk to him, and I'm like, man, what are you doing? What is this? Oh, I'm casting a spell on you. I said, listen, man, can I save you some serious time? I'm like, I've already died. I'm like, so you're trying to curse a dead guy. I'm alive in Christ. You can't hurt me there. You're literally wasting your time right now. And this other gentleman comes over, and this guy was massive, okay? This was like the African-American Vin Diesel. Like, I did not want to mess with this guy ever. And he had, all these, skull rings on and stuff, and he comes walking over, and hello. And I start talking to him about Jesus. In the middle of all these witches and all this crazy stuff, right? And the only confidence I had in that moment was not my ability to speak well or anything like that. It was this holiness from the inside out. It was this righteousness from the inside out. It was this life from the inside out. And I looked at this gentleman, witnessed to him, told him about Jesus. He gets saved. He ends up in the middle of all of this crazy stuff. Hold on, it gets better. He takes all these skull rings off and stuff. And I'm like, dude, you've literally adorned yourself with death. And now you're alive. You want to get rid of that? And he's like, yeah. And I just meant go throw it in the garbage can. He takes it all and just throws it over the building. I hope no one gets hurt. I'm just hearing ching, ching, ching. There's just jewelry flying over this building. Dude got saved in the middle of a bunch of witches, man. This is the kind of life that you and I have. We get to go share love, and it's not about you and me's ability, or you and me's ability. Your and I's, forget it, ours. Somewhere Pastor Clark's regretting his decision right now. let's get to what Billy Graham said. So he said this. You can't go wrong with that, right? Billy Graham said this, are Christians a truly holy people, or are we trying to become a holy people? As an oak sapling grows, it doesn't get oakier. Oak is oak. It simply matures into what it is, a full-grown oak tree. I got these couple things up here. I love this. You got a pine cone on the one hand, and you got an acorn on the other. And the thing is that this houses a bunch of little seeds in here. You guys know this. They're pine, make a pine tree and all that. An acorn makes an oak tree. Okay, so going with what Billy Graham just said, here's the point, is that no matter how hard this little acorn decides that it wants to be a pine tree, it's never going to be a pine tree, okay? And if this represents a sinner, no matter how hard you may want to say, I don't know, Javen, I think I am a sinner, you can't become one because of the seed in which you were born. Right, we were born of his seed, which means you can only be like him. You can't be like anything else. That's what he did, because he knew that we wouldn't just want to be around him, but we'd want to be like him. Amen? Amen. Father, we love you so much. You are so good to us. You have made us like you. We are righteous, we are holy, and we are certainly not sinners. Lord, we see what you've done. You've made us alive. And Lord, I pray for anybody here this morning, Lord, who's never met you, who's never received that life that you come to give. Lord, let today be that day. Spirit of God, I pray that you would convince every heart in this place of our need for you, of the righteousness you make us, condemnation you freed us from, Lord. If anyone here this morning is feeling shame or guilt, God, that the enemy is trying to hold someone's thoughts against them, Lord, I pray that you would intervene right now in Jesus' name. That, Lord, they would sense your thoughts, Spirit. They would hear your words this morning as you call us holy as we are holy. Would you stand with me this morning?